Dear Heavenly Father, as we now prepare to go before the congregation with your word, Father, we know how much and how important your word is. Father, every time the word is being proclaimed, it's life-giving and transforming. So, Father, today I ask that it not be my understanding or my intellect, but that which the Holy Spirit has given me to transpose into the life of others. And, Father, I ask that the ears of the hearer listen. May their soul not be in control, but clothed with humility to hear the uncompromised word of God. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 3, Paul, being the writer, makes some statements about all of humanity, not just the Jew, but all of humanity, coming down to one close conclusion that all have sinned. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I want you to underline that word glory there. Glory. The word glory is a very interesting word because over in the Old Testament, you find that the glory of God manifested quite a few times. And then you find that same word brought over into the New Testament, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most of the understanding that I have been taught, that the glory is referring to some presence of God, as to some presence of the kingdom of God touching humanity. And that is true. You read in the Old Testament, many times the glory of God came down, and one time, many that were present, matter of fact, the whole assembly, couldn't stand for the presence of God, and they all fell before the presence of God. And that is what they term the glory of God. Now, in a lot of my Bible schools and teachings, they have always come from that direction of God's presence coming down and being among men, which is true. I don't know whether you realize it or not, this morning the glory of God was here because there was a wave of His presence you could feel or sense. Now, not all believers feel or sense the glory of God because not all of us are where God is. If that was the case, then everyone would recognize the presence of God in their midst. And many times, the presence of God or the power of God, the self-manifestation of God, was in the midst of people. And in the midst of people, there was only a remnant that really received the glory. At the same time, there was a multitude that didn't even recognize the glory. At the same time. You know, some believers have come to me and says, well, I've got to move on because I never sense the presence of God like it used to be. You know, how many of you heard Christians say that? I never sense the presence. Well, ever since I've been churched, brought up in church, I've heard that same statement many and many times. I just didn't sense the presence of God. Whether it came out of my mouth or whether it came out of somebody else's mouth. And I can remember many times when I was battling with my flesh that I would come to church and I would be in the midst of the presence of God and not feel a thing because I had an attitude. And yet the people around me were just falling on the floor, flipping out. And I said, well, I don't know what, I don't feel a thing. You know, I wasn't feeling or sensing anything. You want to know why? Because basically I didn't want to be there. Do you know the presence of God is only sensed by those that are looking for the presence of God? Are you following me? You know, it said Jesus went, and under this anointing, he was very limited because the people wouldn't receive Jesus because they had a familiarity about him, such as, isn't this the carpenter's son? and therefore he couldn't do many wonderful works. A lot of times Christians like to blame the anointing not working on their behalf on the person that is supposed to produce the anointing. Well, then Jesus had a problem with his father if his anointing couldn't heal all that were present. He could say if he could lay hands on a few sick folk and they got healed. But I got news for you. I don't think there was ever a time that Jesus was not prepared for that anointing to flow onto humanity. You know, you got to understand one thing about anointing. It's not necessarily always the supposedly anointed one's fault that the anointing's not flowing. Have you ever thought about it might be the attitude of your heart and what you's going off on the inside of you that stops the anointing from flowing? You know, it's a two-way street, people. Now, why did I even bring that up? You know, the church today is struggling for revival. And how many of you know that we've seen what we call a foretaste of revival? But whenever I hear that word revival, I always get this question in me. What is revival? If I understand what it means to revive something that once had life. Are you following me? And it finally dawned on me, when I was listening to a tape on what revival is, it finally dawned on me that it's quite possible that we look at revival from the aspect of the presence of the glory of God being in our midst. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's possibly what the church is trying to find identity to as the meaning of revival. As a meaning of revival. Now, do you know that there are some services where the presence of God has been here in such a way that no one preached, there was just a move of God. We just had one not too long ago on a Wednesday night service where no one preached. I mean, we just had the presence of God fall, and we got up to the altar. And now, how many of you remember that? It wasn't too many Wednesday nights ago. We just had a move of God. And God, it wasn't like God spoke something directly to me, but it finally, as I was looking at this, it didn't remind me of revival. It reminded me of the presence of glory and the glory of God in our midst. Right. Now, let me ask you something. When the nation of Israel, that presence of God came down and no one could stand up, was that revival? Because if you study the history of the nation of Israel, they were more backslid than they were in fellowship with God. But they had supernatural presences of God show up many times in the nation of Israel. Show up. Are you following me? There was a good move of God in the presence of God. That, if we're going to return, if we're going to term what revival is, then we shouldn't use the term revival. We should use that we're looking for the glory and presence of God in our midst. Now, that is what we term revival, and that's not revival. The word revival means to revive something that was dead. Well, are we going to look for the glory and presence of God to come down in our midst to revive us? Or does revival really require us as individuals to go into God and into His glory, so remain revived. So we remain revived. You know, God told me, He says, the more the church revives itself, the more the presence will begin to manifest. So we're looking for the presence of God as a form of revival, rather than, are you ready? For the presence of God in our midst. And not term that revival. Because I've known people when the presence of God has fallen in a church, I've known people that I know for a fact, that the minute they leave the church, they're going to go right out and continue in their sin. Mm-hmm. And yet you see them, impacted by the presence of God, run all over the church and just get excited. And as a matter of fact, they'll even prophesy. And you know that when they leave the church, it's just a matter of time and they're as dead as a hammer again. Why is that? Because there's something about the presence of God that all of us enjoy. Whether we're in fellowship or out of fellowship, I've found that people, even that are out of fellowship with God, when the presence of God falls, they sense it, and the next thing you know, they're on their knees of repentance as a result of the presence of God. And so, we call that revival. No, that's not revival. Revival means to revive oneself, to get back to a place of consistency in God. Are you following me? To stay on top of God. I have never been more revived in my life than I have been the last 11 years with my father. Anything before that was intermittent. But I am revived. I'm on fire for God. Why? Because I'm doing what God tells me to do. It doesn't mean that I'm worry and trouble free. I wish I could give you that. But I'm not inconsistent with God anymore. I'm not intermittent with Him. I don't pray one day and forget about it the next. He's constantly on my mind now. Why? Because I began to choose to fellowship with Him. I'm revived. Matter of fact, this mindset is in me. I don't mind doing anything, providing that anything doesn't cut in on my fellowship with my Redeemer. I'm revived. Flesh, if you will have any need or any desire in my life, you will always take a back seat to God first. Because Jesus has the preeminence. That's revival. Now, the presence of God does not revive a person to an everlasting change. It only affects the person temporal. You know, men sought for the presence of God. You know that Welsh revival that took place because one man, coal miner, got on his knees and cried out for the presence of God. So much so that when it hit, the bars emptied out. Are you following me? The next thing that happened is men would be walking down the street and women and fall on their knees and cry out to God because of some presence that some man brought. Now, do you think that's the will of God for the community to become aware of God? Yes, God used that. He got a sinner's attention. But that was not revival. That was the presence and glory of God that was brought down by one man on all flesh to get them their attention to the fact that God is alive. But it doesn't do anything for revival. Why? Because true revival is a face-to-face daily encounter with your Father as a result of your Redeemer. That is a revived person. It is a daily face-to-face encounter with the glory of God. Now this word glory, meaning His presence, coming down and being in our midst. But I'll tell you what, the glory that we're to seek after is not His presence in our midst, are you ready? But us, by choice, going in to His presence to be transformed into His glory, in His image. Are you guys getting something? I'm going to tell you about the nation of Israel. You know, over in 2 Corinthians, it tells us, there's a passage that tells us they were in samples unto us. What they did wrong, we can do right. You know something? God delivered the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt because Israel cried out for a Redeemer. And He came in the type of Moses. And Moses came in there and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And so you know the story that eventually they walked out of Egypt. But here's the uniqueness. They not only walked out of Egypt, but they had a promise. They had a promise given to them of a land that flowed with milk and honey. You all know the story. Matter of fact, Abraham actually entered into Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. And, are you ready? He lived as a vagabond. He lived in a temporal dwelling. And the Bible over in the book of Hebrews said the reason that he lived in a temporal dwelling is because he was looking for a city whose maker was not made with hands. So he was in type. Abraham was showing in type that even though he was in the promised land, that wasn't the promised land that God was really looking to. For he was looking for that eternal city. Now, they come out of Egypt and they get to a place where they can now enter into the promised land. And the first thing that happens is just wait a minute here. I know that God had promised us the promised land, but let us go in and spy it out. Check it out. And so Moses approached God on that. God says, yeah, I'll give him permission, but it was a direct indictment into the face of God that what God had already told them they can have to go and spy out whether it was good or not. I'm going to tell you something, believer. There are Christians today that know that there is a promised land, a place that they can go and live in God, but they want to just spy it out first to find out whether or not it's the right place to go. Mm-hmm. You know, we call Christians today charismatic and non-charismatic. You know, I put together this present day and night meditation ministries, and I approached a pastor on setting up a meeting, and he said, "Well, how are we going to approach the meditating of God's word on the basis of praying in tongues when a lot of these pastors that I meet with do not believe in praying in tongues?" Well, evidently, we have ministers that literally have spied out the charismatic realm. It wasn't interested in that realm. Why? Well, first of all, you know, why pray in another tongue when it doesn't make any sense to my head? You know, whatever the reason. So, you know, these men made a decision. We got to go and check out what God's promised us. Let's go check it out. And among them was Joshua and Caleb. And so they sent the spies into the land, and you know how many days they were in the land. Can anybody tell me? Wasn't it 40 days they were sent in there to spy out the land? And then they come back, and they make this statement. Yes, it's true. The land is very fruitful. Yes, it's true. Man, there's an abundance of wealth in this land. Matter of fact, look at some of the fruit that we brought from this land. Grape. Probably looked like a cantaloupe. And all the people, wow, what a grape. But we got a problem. See how big these grapes are? You had to see the guys that eat them. I meant these dudes are big. Matter of fact, some of these giants were 18 feet in stature. I mean, they were monstrous. And so what was the first thing they did? Well, look, you guys. I mean, it's a land. Yeah, God told us we could have. But man, you ought to see the guys that inhabit that land. Man, them dudes are big. And matter of fact, they're so big, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Guess what began to control them? Reasoning. You know, whenever God gives a promise to us, if we listen to our heads with reasoning, we would have grasshopper mentality every time. Because your carnal mind cannot comprehend a supernatural thing. Why? Because it's 5 cents born. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, hey, we're more than able to take this land. Hallelujah. You know, these guys might be big, but you ought to take a look at our God. Amen. You know something? You might be facing a situation today in your life, and all you can do is sit there and listen to the reasoning of your head when you got such a big God behind you. said, go and take the land. Go take it. You know why they call him Caleb? Because the word Caleb means giant killer.
Hallelujah.
He inherited that. Why? Look at that guy that's 18 feet tall. Well, let's put God next to him. But you have no idea, Pastor, what problem I've got today. Well, let's take your problem and put it up alongside God. If your problem's bigger than God, then you're just spying out the land. It's about time we quit spying out the land. It's just flesh is all it is. When you... Oh, I know the charismatic is a weird place to go and I don't want it. Some of your word churches today, I've been listening to some of their messages, and my God, they're killing. They're actually killing spirituality and exalting fleshuality and don't even know it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God said to Moses, fine. We'll just not bring him in. You know what, God, if you make a decision not to go for the fullness of God, you know what, God's going to take care of you. Why? Even though you don't want to get into the fullness of God, God's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure that your shoes, he's going to make sure you got manna. You know, most Christians are living on what we call get along street and turn around and say, the blessings of God are on me. And yet you see sand packed into their whole life. God is so good. I need meat. God drops a big pot of meat, flesh on them. My shoes are getting worn out. God puts new moccasins on them. Or sandals or whatever. I need water. Brings water out of a rock. Oh, the blessings of God are so rich. And yet they're walking in the wilderness. Well, you know what God did? He said, fine. He says, what you sow, you'll reap. You sowed 40 days of spying the land out, you'll walk 40 years until your flesh is dead. You want to know why? Flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. Never has, never will. And God gave that promise. He carried it out to the letter and proved that he was God by waiting for every last one of them flesh believers to die in the wilderness so God could take the second generation and move them on in to the promised land. Now, why did God have a greater grace on the second generation than the first? Because the second generation was literally living its history in the unbelief of the first generation that didn't want to enter in. And that's why the church today is churched. They don't know how to walk in the abundance and the fullness of God today in the promised land that was given to us. Why? Because they're walking it out in their flesh rather than the glory of God. And the glory of God is here, people. The presence of God might not be here right now, but I believe that it is. But the glory of God, the tabernacle that God housed him in, is here. Well, how do I know? Because the glory of God is in every one of you that is born of God. So they get inside. Joshua takes the second generation into the promised land. And Joshua runs across Rahab the harlot. And what was the first thing that came out of Rahab's heart? The same thing that reasonings will stop you from entering into the fullness of what God's given you. Because reasonings impart grasshopper mentality. I even heard Christians tell me, it's so hard to walk the Christian walk. It's so hard. Well, the problem is you're walking it instead of God in you. See. And so what was the first thing that came out of Rahab's mouth? I could just see Joshua. Rahab said, do you know the inhabitants of Canaan? We were shaking in our boots because we feared your God, for he is God. Amen. They were shaking in their boots. Why? Because here comes the nation of Israel up to the edge of Canaan, and they decide to send little spies in. And the inhabitants are sitting there. And we look at this giant, and if we saw him through the eyes of God, the giant would be... Why? Because they weren't looking at the Israelites. They were looking at the God that parted the Red Sea. The God that brought down Pharaoh. The God that destroyed the glory of the devil that kept his people locked up. That's why the devil doesn't want you to know that, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, we don't want to go into all the fullness that God has to offer. So I could see Joshua. Now, wait a minute. Now, Rahab, what did you say? Because he was one of the spies that went in. Didn't bother him one bit. You said the inhabitants of Canaan were shaken. Oh yeah, they feared your God. They didn't fear you, they feared your God. They feared the one behind you. It isn't any different today. God has given you the fullness of His glory for you to walk into the fullness of it. Are you going to listen to the reasonings of the devil? Are you going to go into all that God has promised you? Into His fullness and in His glory. Are you going to sit there and let the reasonings talk you out of the greatest victories you could possibly ever have? The trouble is, we want steak on our table without killing the cow. I want the blessings of God to flow on me. And God said, well, it will when you show up where I'm at.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like we just go do our thing and expect God to bless it. God wants us to go run around with Him, and He causes it to be a blessing.
Right.
We ought to be ashamed of ourselves that we just can't say. You know, the inhabitants of this world are like grasshoppers for God. What's wrong with saying that? Somebody said, oh, the devil got a hold of me today. Where in the world did that come from? Flesh. So, what is going to be the title of my message? What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? Is it some presence, or is it the life of God and His glory in us? Well, I'll tell you what, you get both when you run with God. You get His presence, which is not revival. It's what you call a time of excitement. This is where everybody can run off the rafters of the church roof and it be God because His presence are there. But God doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to go into revival. He wants you to get into something that will revive you and keep you there so that the promises won't be wasted. What was God supposed to do in that argument when the spies came back? Say, what was God supposed to do? Finally show up in His presence and say, listen, you jerks. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what your reasoning tells you? Are you going to believe what I said? Now, if God did that, do you think they would snap too? Wants you to choose just how far you want to go with Him. God doesn't want to be the one that's always proving that His Word is truth. He wants you to make the decision whether His Word is truth or not. Why? So that when you do it, it isn't because He forced you to do it. It's because your heart was in Him to do it. He wants every one of us Calebs. Hey, I preached this sermon to myself yesterday, because Sue and I are real tight spot right now, and finally God says, where am I? Tammy knows, I shared with her, well, where am I in this? And I got saying, God, why are you always picking on me? God says, I'm going to tell you why I'm picking on you, Jan. All of you, pay attention to this. Here's why I'm picking on you. He says, for me to do anything for you comes through your authority that has been given to you from me. Until you exercise your authority, you'll never know where you're at. You know, the church wants God to do something so they can believe. God's waiting for you to do something so he can prove that what he said to you, you can believe.
Yes.
Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I know the blessings of God going to flow. I know they are. Boy, if I go through that again, I'll never make it. What kind of heart is that? It's the same heart that doesn't have a desire for the things of God. It's the same heart that's going to run your life. That's why God couldn't allow one of them to enter into the promised land that didn't want to, that spied out the land. And God took care of them. I'll tell you what, that's not the blessings of God. God wants you to go into his fullness. You want to witness to somebody? Are you going to be limited to your witnessing? Or are you going to find a need in their life and lay hands on them and see them recover from a need they can't naturally meet nor men? You want to do witnessing or be a witness? It depends on what land you've made the decision to go into. Do you know what? God was appalled that he had to walk them in the wilderness for 40 years rather than take them on in. Why? Because the whole world was watching the Israelites or the nation of Israel as a result of God that was behind them.
Right.
You know, you are being looked at no matter what place you're in God. You're being looked at by the world. And they'll look right at you and you think you're going to do a witnessing to them if you are not being a witness. I could see myself as one of them giants. Man, they got right up to the Jordan. Oh, I thought they were going to come across. I even prepared myself many spears to kill as many as I could. Because that God that's behind them, I don't know what I'm in for. Follow me. Today, if I could get a bigger gun, get one to shoot more ammo. AK-47, that'll do it. When you don't need any of those, but trust in your God. Are you following me? So I could see it. The giant, you know, sees the Israelites come right up to the river. We're in for it now, buddies. How many spears did you make? 50,000. Not enough. You stab them jerks. What about the guy that's behind them? And all of a sudden, they turn around, they walk off. And I'm sitting here. Where are they going? Where are they going? The other giant says to the other giant, I have no idea. But, you know, whatever it is, you have to praise our God that God didn't cross the river. That's all I know. And the other giant says to the other one, yeah, you're right, man. We ought to praise our God that God didn't cross the river. You got that right. So you wake up the next day. They come down to the Jordan today? No, they didn't show up. They what? They didn't show up. Well, do you think that all these spears we made is in vain? It kind of looks that way. Now, can you imagine this? Waking up a year later. Did they come down to the river? No, I figured so. Now, how about 40 years later? The Israelites show up? No, of course not. We are the ones, man. That nation came right up to Jordan, took one look at our cities, and freaked out. They're gone. Adios. I told you you made all those spears in vain. Well, last time I heard, are you ready for this? Last time I heard, they're walking in some desert that takes 4 days to walk, and they've been at it 40 years. They're really dingies. You know, I'm portraying the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, termites, you know, all them.
And you're sitting there, well, maybe that God isn't all that big after all. Besides, look at our fortress, look at our walls. This is Jericho, man. This is 40 years these idiots are out there. How'd they survive? Oh, some meat fell out of the sky. Some what? Some meat fell out of the sky. I even heard it. You mean the one that parted the Red Sea is now keeping them alive? So one day you wake up. Hey, Jen.
Yeah.
Now I want you to go up to the wall. Check out. So you go up to the wall. And Jericho could be seen at the Jordan. You're sitting there with your spear and you go, they're back. They're back. Don't worry, they'll turn around and go. Can you imagine that? The devil, when he works into your life and takes you out, after one defeat after another, God isn't what he says he is. There must be something wrong with you. I'll tell you what. Today, if you're here today as a believer and you feel that Satan has walked all over your body and your life, I got news for you. God is ready to come back into your life. Don't go by this church situation. Get back into your life individually in fellowship with him, and he'll give you instructions how to cross your Jordan and how to walk your Jericho. Are you following what I'm saying? So that when you open your mouth, you don't even have to do any work. All you got to do is open your mouth and let God out, and those walls will come down. Hallelujah. Because Jericho is a type of the fortress of reasonings in our thinking. That Paul said, these are not, the warfare is not according to the flesh and blood. It's not according to the wall of Jericho. It's according to the fortress that exists in you. Let those walls come tumbling down by being obedient to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. And God will back his words if they're your words. I'm going to tell you something. To get up Sunday morning and let the flesh talk you out of coming to church, that is the most hypocrisy, complacency thing that I know of. People, I'm going to tell you, I'm the pastor of this church, and my flesh has told me, just call in sick. Tell him you got a job you got to do. Lie. Do whatever it takes. You can't go there and preach any sermon. You know what you did this weekend? You can't go and preach any sermon. You coward, you. Finally, I didn't tell the devil to shut up, because he never does. But I told my soul to shut up, because he's the one that needs saving. And he needs saving daily. So God approached me and said, cross the Jordan, surround Jericho. Okay. And Jesus says, he says, as you step out, he says, I'll follow. You see, the first nation, that first generation, they stepped out as God led. Second generation, they stepped out and God followed. Yep. Boy, you have no idea, God, what I'm facing today. You know, Christians always want a flowery sermon from God. I understand, you poor little creature. You have my grace and you have my mercy. You can do it. I wish when God talked to me, would talk to me that way. He tells me, stay home then. If I got to lead, or if I got to follow today, you're not the one I want to follow. You know why the worshipers and them left?
and went before. I believe that the worship only had one purpose in mind, Tammy, when he said that the worshipers will lead and you'll follow the worshipers when they circle Jericho. You know what the Lord told me? We're talking about music and anointings and things like that. I found something out. I can be the most flesh creature walking into this auditorium you could have on your hand. But when the anointing falls on that woman, and anointing falls on the choir, and anointing falls on our musicians, man, there's just something that all of a sudden begins to stir in my spirit, and I start getting edified, and I start getting strengthened. Why? Because I'm hearing the joy of the Lord and His presence in music coming along. And I think the whole reason that the praise and worshipers went before even the army is simply predicated on the fact that they were going to lead above the sense realm. You follow what I'm saying? And so the next thing you know, you're into praise and you're into worship and you feel the presence of God. And right then and there, if somebody came up to you and said, "Do you believe God?" you'd look at them and slap them right in the face and say, "Shut up. Why would you even insinuate that? The way I feel right now." You know something? Someone asked me, I forgot who it was. They said, "Well, we're just tired of the music. We're tired of the music we sing. Can we get new music?" And you know what struck a chord in my heart, Tammy? I'm not even doing what we're singing now. You know, some of them songs are powerful. We're not even doing what some of them songs we're singing. And God said, if you start doing what you're singing that you're tired of, you'll get getting tired of it. It's a challenge to us. Some of them songs are challenging to us. Why? Because we got a Jericho, we got a circle. Are you following me? It isn't a... What if the nation is saying, "Hey, Jesus! God, wait a minute. Why come you're putting the choir before us? We want to go first. And besides, we want to change the music. We want something a little more flippy." You think those musicians went forward to scare the inhabitants of Jericho? You think those musicians went before? No, it was one of these guys that were following the musicians. "Are we sure we know what we're doing? We can't even open our mouths. The only one that can open their mouths is a praise and worshiper." Why? God wanted that music to go into their hearing. He wanted to continue to encourage them while they had to walk the mile. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I want to open my mouth. Oh, the Lord, glory of the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. He is great. And you're sitting there, keep your mouth shut and listen to the music. Keep your mouth shut and listen to the music. No, we want to be entertained. God wants to bring you to a place of transformation, not entertainment. I think I respect Tammy more than I've ever respected her in my whole life. Problem with Tammy is she has a standard she wants to cling to that Jesus put in her heart that we all got to stand by. We can't even get men to join our choir. Why? They're too busy looking at the inhabitants of Jericho. We want you to take care of the 3-year-old. Say, "Ah!" We're more than able to take the land. I like that second generation going in there. Let's go get AI. AI means heap of ruin. It's a type of flesh. How many inhabitants are in there? 2,000-something. Oh, let's do it. I mean, we got something like 4 million. Let's take it. And that was that little city is what caused them to run. That's how well it is with our flesh. Oh, the devil's going to get you. Don't worry about it. Why? You have flesh. What's that got to do with the devil? Oh, if I don't survive this one, I'll never live again. Don't worry about it. Still got flesh. Oh, this one's going to bring me down. I'll never survive this one. Don't worry about it. You still got flesh. Now, why am I even saying that? I don't care what position you get into. There's one thing you've got to always remember. Flesh will take you down every time. How many of you woke up this morning? Stretch yourself.
and said, "Today, I just want to tell you I love you, Father. Well, my flesh ain't going to rule." Now, what about the devil? If my flesh ain't going to rule, he's no problem. How many of you are ready to take your Canaan? How many of you are ready to take your Canaan today?
Amen.
How many of you are ready to take your Canaan today?
Yep.
Are you ready to take your Canaan?
Of course.
Of course. I like my wife. She's a Caleb.
Sir, you have no idea.
Oh, shut up. Mr. Preacher, come alive in God. You can do everything. She don't give me no slack. And she does it in love. She doesn't say shut up in anger. There's just a way that she has to tell you, where you at, boy? Have a little sympathy, Sue. You married Jan. No, I didn't. I married a man of God, not Jan. Did you guys get something here today? Are you going to take your promised land? Are you going to stop letting the fortresses, that reasoning, talk you out of something? Man, don't let that reasoning talk you out of what God says. If God said it, it's sufficient.
Right.
Hallelujah. Take the position of strength. Let your faith be released through your mouth and your actions. That's the only way you can release your faith.
Yeah, but what if I don't believe it?
Then be obedient. Release it from your lips anyway and take the action. In spite of the reasonings. Why? Because that's how you release your faith. Well, I know you guys got something today. I got something out of myself. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Father, your word is so good. Father, you've called us. We're the second generation. We're to come into the fullness of God. Father, we're going to go for it. Father, in spite of those giants in that land, in spite of it seems like a long time, the church hasn't really accomplished anything. We came up to the River Jordan, we walked off, and the devil said, we bluffed them, we fooled them. But no, I'll tell you what, rise up, people. Rise up big and let God be big in you today. Whatever you're facing, rise up, you can do it. Hallelujah. You can cross that river of decision, and you can walk out to what God, obedience to God, and you can have success because He'll bring those walls of reasoning, that fortress down in your thinking. So you can succeed. All you just have to do is be obedient. Be obedient to whatever you're facing with God. Be obedient with God. Hallelujah. Be obedient with God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, a lot of you, you know what you need to do? You ought to do what I did yesterday. I let one of our songs go through my whole day. I just kept singing that song. Encourage myself in the Lord. All of us have been there. Every one of us have been there. Every one of us has been critical about things. Every one of us has always been hesitant. Every one of us has always had fear and doubt. But I'll tell you what, we don't have to worry as long as our God is the one that parted the Red Sea, is the one that brought Canaan, the land of Canaan, to its knee. It's the same God that will bring your problems, the same God that will bring all your situations, circumstances to its knees. All you have to do is submit to God. Let God be God and praise and worship Him. Let your heart free to worship the God of such a great salvation. Now many of us today have needs. How many of you have needs today? Let's see your hands. How many of you know that those needs can be met in God? Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the ushers come forward real quick like. Then we're going to dismiss you. I want the ushers to come forward and get the communion trays. And I want you to settle an issue in your heart with your God this morning through the elements of the communion table. The body and the blood. Go ahead and be seated. And as they hand you the tray, hand it to the person next to you and then take your elements. It'll go quicker. Today, we're going to have communion. And in this communion, what we're going to do, instead of focusing in on one another, we're going to focus in on our attitude towards God today. And we're going to deal with our attitude with God. Hallelujah. We're going to put it under the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to bring back to remembrance that God can do all things in us if we let Him. Hallelujah. All of us have had doubt and worry and frustration. All of us have probably been mad at God at one time. I don't know. All of us probably been frustrated. All of us probably had people that's gotten us out of the presence of God. Trespassers or whatever. And all of us have made mistakes. None of us is without mistakes. But hallelujah, today we can walk out of this sanctuary after taking the proper understanding of the communion elements. We can walk out of this sanctuary and sit and enjoy a good Seahawk game without any condemnation whatsoever. Woo! Right, Tim?
Love the fellowship of my son. Of course, I love the fellowship with all my kids. But man, I love the fellowship of things like the Seahawk when I got a clear mind. I can enjoy it more. Amen. Amen. Amen, Calloway.
You got it,
baby. Oh, Roshakata. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, why are we putting this under the communion elements? This distrust that we've had for God. Because He gave of His life physically and spiritually. Physically is the broken body. Spiritually is the shed blood. Hallelujah. So taking these elements means that, Father, I just want You to know that I'm no longer going to transgress that broken body, that spilt blood. It's going to have meaning in my life. It's going to have complete meaning in my life. Hallelujah. It's not going to go in vain today. I'm going to trust and meditate on You and be prepared to be all that I'm supposed to be in You. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, pressure in this world can really get you away from God. How many of you figured that out by now? It can. That's why me as a pastor, no wonder Paul says be strong in the grace, because all of us are so vulnerable to the pressures of this life. Amen. None of us are exonerated from it. We all live under pressure. If we're expected to be perfect when we live under pressure, we're all crazy. As a pastor, it's easy for me to slip and judge members of my body for not being perfect. When God shines a light on me and says, well, you're not Mr. Perfect. Pressure can get to me too. Amen. To where I need the communion elements. I think I need them this morning. Bring them communion elements to me here. Awesome, Ray. Hallelujah. I need them. Praise God. Ray. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ray. Praise God. You guys ready to take communion? You guys ready to settle your issue with God? I am. Hallelujah. Father, what greater honor? What greater honor than for us to stand before You and take communion? Father, this morning, this body is geared up to wash our feet from a walk that we've doubted You in, that we've feared You wouldn't bring things to pass in our life, that we've allowed the pressures of this world, we've allowed the Jerichos to speak louder than You. So, Father, I am cleansing my walk with You this morning. In honor and respect of You giving Your physical body and life and Your spiritual life as well for our sake. Father, I'm not saying I'll never doubt again. I'm not saying the pressure won't cause me to say and do wrong things. But Father, I do declare this today, that my conscience is going to be cleared as much as within me, that I'm going to cleanse my walk with You.
this communion is going to have meaning in my relationship with you more than it's ever meant. In the night in which he was betrayed, his body, he took that cup and that bread and used them as symbols of the meaning of him having to pour his life out. His body was broken in the symbols of the bread. And so we take that bread right now, that we will break our flesh in light of that and not let it rule us anymore, for your life and presence in us. Go ahead and take it. Also, Father, in that same night when he took the cup, the wine, he said it was symbolic of the pouring out of his life. So we ought to allow us to pour our life out and take up his life in the symbolism of the cup. And so let's do that. Let's drink. Now, Father, we took these elements as symbols of our cleansing our walk with you this morning. Strengthen every one of us, Father, for what's ahead for us. Strengthen us to be bold as lions, to succeed in what you'd have us do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pass your cups to the inward aisle, and the ushers will pick them up. Things will go quicker that way.